Welcome back, good folks, to another episode of the Record Report Podcast. As always, this is Ahmad, joined with Vance. See what's up to the people.
It's your boy, Vance B. What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing today, or tonight, or this morning? However you're feeling, wherever you are, we're here in the building. Let's go do this shit.
Oh, man. And for this episode, we revisited a, I guess you could say, underground classic, conscious staple. A amazing album, an amazing body of work that was so great to go back to. There's so much meaning and messaging in it that I think everyone needs to listen to. We revisited Dead Prez, RBG, Revolutionary But Gangsta. Let's go.
Revolutionary!
RBG, RBG, nigga, this that RBG. RBG, RBG, nigga, this that RBG. Tell me, are you down when it's going down? You got to hold it down. Don't talk it, put it down, homie. Tell me, are you down when it's going down? You got to hold it down. Don't talk it, put it down, homie. Tell me, are you walk like a warrior? Walk like a warrior. Walk like a warrior. Walk like a warrior. I was 50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. On the palms, on the fingertips, on the wrist, on the fist. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get big. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. I ain't telling you nothing, you don't already know. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. Like this world just don't want us to grow. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. I ain't telling you nothing, you don't already know. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. Wanna run up in the White House and kick. What a nigga gon' eat when the refrigerator empty. Work all week.
Dead Prez released RBG, Revolutionary But Gangsta, March 30th, 2004. The album consisted of two members, M1 and Stickman, who make up Dead Prez. This was their third official album. The album was probably their most successful commercial-wise. The song Hell Yeah was on a Too Fast, Too Furious soundtrack. It was also included. I didn't even notice when I was talking to Ryan earlier, talking to him the other day. He said he actually remembers seeing the Hell Yeah video, but BET showed it on Uncut. But it wasn't even like a explicit thing, but that's the only time they would show it. So people had to stay up to watch Uncut. And there was the whole song Hell Yeah, which is about scamming. Great song. And then also had features with Crazy Bone as well as Jay-Z on the Hell Yeah remix. Mostly produced in-house, and it's also self-produced. I will say one thing is LV produced 50 in the clip. LV is a part of the group. I can't think of the name, but they co-produced Rock Boys with Jay-Z. I think it's him and Shaw-C. So it's pretty cool to see that he was involved. All right, Vance, you, as a kind of a new person to Dead Prez, what was it like?
I ain't going to hold you. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. As I said at one point, like, I knew Dead Prez because of Dave Chappelle. That was the intro music that actually played. Originally, I thought it was stock music, so I didn't really pay no mind to it. But then later on, I heard, like, people rapping over it because my sister played Dead Prez. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, well, hold up. Wait a second. This is an actual song? And she was like, yeah, you ain't never heard of Dead Prez? I was like, there's a group? So I actually took a dive into like mainly that song, and then I found out that Drake used lyrics from that song into his song. I know way too many people here right now. That song. So I was like, oh shit, all right, that's pretty dope. And I respected the fact that they managed to have like this revolutionary sound. The only thing is, I've never really listened to this sound until now. And when I listened to it, it felt like a product of his time, but in a good way. Now, in some ways, there were certain elements of the sounds that I was like, all right, this kind of feel a little bit dated. But at the same time, the message that they had was very clear. And the fact that they were able to balance having good music and then also having this message is one beautiful struggle that happens to show up on this album. And I think that's one reason why I appreciate it. I'll also listen to this album strictly in the gym and in my car. And they were definitely the perfect album for both of those kind of vibes. You got songs on here that's definitely good for like just taking a drive or just being in the sauna. And then there's other songs that like you're ready to do some deadlifts to, you know what I'm saying? You ready to lift up that tire across 10 yards and shit, like you ready to go. So this was definitely the album that was perfect for it. And Ahmad, I also thank you for telling me to listen to it specifically in the gym. I kind of cheated with the car thing, but you know, like I'm just glad that I was able to do it. I also did it while I was gaming. So, you know, it kind of grew on me. And then I also added like one of the songs to my playlist, The Dark Side. Check that out on Spotify. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a couple of gems in here that I didn't really expect to pick up. So yeah, appreciate it for what it is, despite some of the flaws it might have.
Man, thanks for the shout out and kudos. You don't really associate this kind of album with activities. I think we always try to assume that this type of rap, the conscious message, including hip hop music, normally is boring and mundane. And I was like, all right, I don't want to hear that shit. I'm going to have some fun. It was really cool to have an album that was touching on some very interesting and necessary topics, but also it is very musical. Very musical. Yeah. So I was really great with Frank. So as always, Vance, we try to pick three songs. You can kick it off. What was your...
What? Oh, you're going to put me on the spot again.
Your first one? What was your first one? As you went to Dear Prayers, what was your first one?
50 in the clip.
Check this out. Do-wee!
All right, it's going down like this right here. You push, you pay. You know what I'm saying? Everything counts. The trips, you pay double. Keep your back straight and count them out loud. Come on.
50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. On the palms, on the fingertips, on the wrist, on the fist. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get big, get big. 50 in the crib, get rip, get big. On the palms, on the fingertips, on the wood.
Jumping rope, doing kicks, basic drills with the sticks, 50 push-ups in the clip, on the fist and the rib, getting swole on the block, lifting weights at the gym, take the kids to the park, do some techniques with them, throw that hook, work that crawl, stick and move, tap that jaw, tiger claw, lion paw, iron palm, can't be soft, life is hard on the block, put your heart on the spot, you gon' ride or you not, bomb first, get the drop, hey me, that's head crack, boy. That fever ain't got nothing on that. But stay away from the corners. Tracy Burning. You heard me?
Oof.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, holy shit. My gosh. Whew. I first listened to 50 in the clip when I was working on the bench press. And it was a perfect song to fucking go like up and down on it, just knock out. That shit caught me off guard, man. Like the bounce that it has throughout the entire song, the chorus is fire. You know what I'm saying? The lyrics are like aggressive. I like that shit. It feels like a southern song, but at the time, kind of southern song. And you could see that they were experimenting with kind of new ways of making this sound for like a more national audience, but I like the way that they managed to build that. And then like once again, 50 in the clip, like that shit is hard. And the dun, 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 like that shit is hard. And it's so simple, but the fact, oh, and then the bass line on top of that, like doo 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 doo, like yeah, it was a banger. I had to keep that in the whip for sure. So yeah, 50 in the clip. That's my first one.
It's an amazing song. I really, it's probably one of my favorite Dead Press songs, one of my favorite songs on this project. Like you say, like the actual, when you're doing an activity, the way the bass line and the guitars, and even like the little slight violin you hear over it, and the way it's layered, it kind of gives like a frantic pace that might make you want to move, but it's very groovy. Yeah. But it took me forever to get to that point because I'm so busy listening to the message, which they're kind of trying to tell people, the crowd, Black folks specifically, to be active and to be engaging and to like push yourself and take care of your body and to literally like work out. And I think Stickman were going to actually make a album for working out. So I would be surprised if other people felt the same way from some of their music. In a way that, again, it wasn't preachy, which often this genre of hip hop can often come off as very preachy and very like out of touch. That wasn't really it wasn't what they were doing. It was like, it was a message, but it was in a way where it was like them motivating you along with themselves. So like the counting phase and like, we're gonna do this together and stuff like that. The communal feel they were able to create through this song in different parts of the album. But I think this song really ties parts together and really like gives you something to bounce to or like vibe out to that you, again, really don't associate with artists like this. That's why I really like this song.
Yeah, I agree. Because like, I feel like when it comes, well, just normally, especially at this time, when you look at a lot of conscious hip hop, it doesn't get a lot of love. Like, I know you and I had a conversation before, like about how like No Name is one of those few artists that are putting music out that actually has a message that goes with it. You know what I'm saying? A conscious message. Of course, you got other artists like Common. You got other artists out here using maybe sounds from those conscious vibes to kind of put it into what they're doing. But it doesn't seem like you have kind of like that revolutionary sound, especially in this modern time. There's an article that recently came out from Vox. I just heard about it on another podcast. Shout out to Beaumont Jones. It was an article about how people are mainly basically selling out on social media, especially if you have to kind of sell out in order for you to get that success that you may want. And even if you hit the jackpot, you would still have to maintain that level of consistency and outrageousness in some cases in order for you to keep the crowd that you have. So the fact that you have a lot of artists kind of doing different things on social media that may not be as conscious or maybe as noble when it comes to like conscious rappers, like it makes it hard for artists to really come out and do that and be successful on a more mainstream platform. So like to actually have something like this come out and the shit bounce, but still has that message that is consistent throughout this song for sure, as well as the entire album, dog. Yeah, this was kind of one of the ones that really caught my attention.
Please send me the article that Bomani that you mentioned through being Bomani. I would love to read it. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and I think, again, I got to read for the context what they're saying. I do think also there needs to be some blame on the consumer, because, you know, Dead Prez was on Loud Records, not a big record label, known for independent albums, but also very hip-hop albums. Loud had Wu-Tang, it had Mobb Deep, it had real hip-hop people, but they knew how to market them and sell them. Even for Dead Prez, they weren't getting like the push because it was kind of like on the end wave when Loud was going from street to corporate. So the guy kind of got caught in some of that weird mesh that was happening to hip-hop at the time. But I say all to say, some of this blame has to go on the consumer, because there was a time where artists like Dead Prez and artists like Mobb Deep, artists like Talib Kweli, who was a trash person, but I had to use him as an example, to get the, they were able to make a career on touring shows and still selling albums and stuff like that, because the market still gave people like that enough ears and money to make his a real career. So he was able to finance himself. So people like Immortal Technique and touring for forever, right?
Yeah.
People like, you know what I'm saying? People like that were able to tour for an extended period of time based on
Tech Nine.
Tech Nine. And they did not have to sacrifice who they wanted to be for a bigger name or the way. So again, some of this also was, but again, you don't see people like that now. Everyone has to be attached to social media and attached to whatever, attached to some level of a trend, whether a label or a social media thing, to become popular and to become famous, to even get to a certain point. But to do those things, it's hard to do those things and be a real rebel like some of these people were. So that's a great point. I think it's my turn.
Yeah.
And I want to pick an amazing song. I remember this from a while ago. This is one of my first Dead Press songs. I got to give a shout out to my brother. My brother is the biggest Dead Press guy. He's talking about Dead Press so forever. It is Walk Like a Warrior with Crazy
for my brain and my mental health. The white man got the wealth, we held back. We living in hell black, a nigga can sell crack, but that ain't gonna change this thing. If you gon' bang, then bang for change, don't bang for crazy things. If not, don't bang. If you gon' ball, play the game how it should be played. Can you dribble a grenade to save your life? You paid the price, mama raised you right. Now how you ain't gon' fight for the white man laws? Hell no, for the cause, because we gotta get what's ours. Gotta struggle for the motherfucking power, cause we living in the last few hours. It's 11:59 and think it's about time we get on the grind and get out the carbine. With freedom of mind, we can see we can find them, we can spot them. Pop, pop, pop the pole nine. This is only a rhyme tonight, don't get scared. Listen to the message in the word, don't let your sight get blurred. You heard this righteous word, you might prefer it from a timeout, timeout. I didn't say bug out, ball out, blang out. All y'all sell out, get the hell out. This shit is RBG, so bang on out. We people army, nigga, bang on out.
It was great, man. It was great. This song, essentially, if I'm not mistaken, is about arming yourself and being a warrior. and being very revolutionary.
Yeah.
So this is very, this is, they mentioned Fred Hampton, they mentioned a lot of revolutionary black folks. And I think this used to have a space. It used to exist in music where you could say stuff like this, but it was very, I don't even think this was even considered controversial. It was very pro black, and like a level of betterment for folks. And some of that is missing now. But in this song, I love it. It was great to have Crazy Bone on that with his amazing flow. The storytelling. I love how this whole album does have like threads of storytelling throughout it. One of my favorite things is, again, these are very revolutionary people, when he said, I think it was Slick Man, he said, no, it was Crazy Bone. He said, we ain't marching in the middle of the street, because that's how Martin got smoked.
He got real revolutionary on this shit.
Yeah, he did.
You say you see 50 niggas in all black fatigues. My regime better down your street. At the end of the block, we got the goddamn cops and they hope we sing. Tell me what you see. I see buildings burning. Motherfuckers tripping for a goddamn purpose. The police is nervous because we done observed them. Now niggas is thinking about murder. We ain't talking no more. And we ain't squashing shit with Popo. And we ain't marching in the middle of the goddamn road. Because Martin got smoked. Niggas ready for woe. So get the fuck up. We finna set the city to fire. This time we be riding, we burning it down. Turn the shit round. Keep your justice, your peace. We keep blessing your heat. Aiming at the crooked officer. And we won't stop blazing till they cough and blood. When I swing my baseball cap to the back and get dizzy, nigga, you say you're a soldier. We get over here, nigga, we under attack. As soon as they gone, they dead gone. Murder mo' come, they done. Me red rum, me red rum, they done. And when we put them in they grave, we tossin' a donut. And tell them we don't surrender, surrender, no.
I like the fact that he was able to kind of like put, because like Crazy Bone is the type of rapper that, like, if you don't hear him on songs like this, you will mainly know him from, like, his chants and then also his aggressive rhymes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows how to chant very well, because I forgot this solo song that he did, but he did it over the art of noise, I think. Mm-hmm. Dun, 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 dun. He pretty much used that song, sampled it, and then made his own version of it.
The better more murder, more merger, it will learn ya. They be fucking with the thug, thug, slug.
Ripping them guts and dripping that blood. Rolling with the gun in my hand and they can't understand. I be ran with the murder mode.
Niggas put triggers in the window, could you put you in the reason?
Well, I live in the summer before.
They get me, stick me, bring a hit, and step it quick when they pull out their weapon.
Me, but you would never deceive.
It's keeping me deep and they open me victim. And y'all are fine when I call my dogs. I be ready, get tell you when to go. Put them on the ground with the fofo. I just wanna let a nigga know. Make a steady figure like they're rolling with the bone.
They really wanna see the bone go.
My nigga, you did wrong. You better take a couple steps backwards, I'll collapse ya. Back to the plague ahead, and just remember we're pinning you jealous backstabber. Backstabber.
And I found out that he was really good at, like, in some ways crooning the way that he does, but then still come out with these really hard verses and these hard rhymes. And it's just dope to see him on songs like this that shows more of his revolutionary personality in some ways. I gotta find another word for revolutionary, because I don't want to talk that fuck out. But you know what I mean.
Let that one go. I got you.
Yeah. But the fact that he did have, like, that Martin lyric, like, throughout his verse shows that, like, he knows how to throw that lyric at you and still make it ride well over the beat. And I like the fact that, like, the chorus was really good. Like, was the thing that I remembered it for. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the shit for me. Walk like a warrior. Very 2000s. But yeah, that shit was hard, bro. I like that. You know what I'm saying? And then just the way that Crazy Bone was just able to approach the start of the beat the way he did, that shit was fire. But Dead Prez also held their ground too, keeping that same shit, kicking that same shit to you. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with it.
It flowed really well too.
Yeah.
Again, you know, maybe it was, I would love to talk to them one day, like, what was the musical element of it? Hip-hop, this type of hip-hop didn't sound as this fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the hook is so catchy. Well, like, good word. Like, the sample. Yeah, the sample behind. I wonder the sample. I didn't look it up. The sample back there. I think it's like a guitar in the background. You can kind of hear some riffing. It was very musical. And I would love to hear. Again, I was listening to this in the car, because I play, when we're doing this, I play music in every element, try to understand, like, what is the best use for it.
Yeah.
And I was riding with my son, and he said, "Is this Outkast?" I was like, "No, it was kind of cool." It was kind of cool that he was like, "Oh, it sounds similar to some Outkast sometimes." I was like, "Oh wow, that's very fascinating," because one's from Brooklyn, one's from Florida, and this is their third album, but they have done projects. Second album, it's actually their second album. They did mixtapes in between. So it was really impressive, like the musicality of some of these songs in the background, even though it was layered with such hard-hitting moments and lyrics. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was mine. What is your next one?
Oh, shit. I was trying to look for that sample. I definitely want to find out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like,
go real. Oh. But to answer your question, I'm going to go with, let's see. I'm going to go with W4.
So much shit goes on, it makes me doubt about a God, you know? Makes me ask, well, if there's a God, why am I in the situation I'm in? Or why is my family going through certain situations when I don't think that they deserve it? You know what I mean? Why do good people suffer so much and bad people prosper so much?
Going out. Got me work, keep smoking all night. We like this J up right here. For all the hard work and fun. Pop dude. Across this country. Across the world. Auntie. Everybody on the grind every day, 9 to 5, 8 to 12. It's just, you know how we do it. Hand to hand, whatever.
I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. I ain't telling you nothing, you don't already know. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. Like this world just don't want us to grow. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. I ain't telling you nothing, you don't already know. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. Wanna run up in the White House and kick in the door.
What a nigga gon' eat when the refrigerator empty? Work all week, let the boss man pimp me. Can't pay no rent to the 15th landlord. Call the police to evict me. Looking for a job and it won't ask. Have you ever been to jail? No, they gon' ask. Ever took a piss test that you didn't pass? In between jobs in the past, how you get cash? I done worked over high-ass stoves. I done picked up trash off roads. Winter time in the streets in the cold. Many time had to sleep in my clothes on the floor. What you know about being poor? Seeing most of your kinfolk be on dope. Ain't nobody in the hood got no hope in this fucked up system. And that's why we don't vote. Still paying niggas 425. How the fuck we supposed to survive? I'm close to the edge. Government taking most of my bread and taxes. Might as well had a toast to my head. Make a nigga wanna wild out. Run up in the White House with the gauge out. Click clack. Give me my shit back. Biatch.
I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show. I ain't telling you nothing you don't already know. I've been working all my life, but ain't got nothing to show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I like that shit. So I like it because for me specifically, that guitar riff in the background, like that acoustic guitar sample, it felt like an acoustic guitar version of Isaac Hayes's, I think, was it Walk On By? No, not Walk On By. It's another song that he did, but it's and I kept hearing that throughout the song, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. But when I heard like the actual song and the chorus, like it was dope. Like they made the job feel like a plantation. And like even they had that riff like throughout the entire song. And the ways that like you're going through like these tough times and you don't feel like you're actually free. You just feel like you're locked into this place that is paying you and giving you the money you need to actually live. You know what I'm saying? And you're not living your actual life, your actual truth. So yeah, like I definitely fucked with this song. I fucked with the fact that they managed to include vocals and like really make those vocals shine throughout the song. And it kind of shows that they were outside of just having these very powerful songs and these powerful messages in their songs, they actually cared about the musical aspect to it as well. And in this way, showing that they could do something else outside of just, oh, we're just going to give you these hard rhymes or these hard beats, you know what I'm saying? And give you this real hard shit. They were able to kind of switch it up and be like, okay, we can find a way to still give you this message, but still do it in a way that you can like listen to it and sing some of the things that they actually are saying.
That's such a great point. I start with the W4 piece. Yeah. I was listening to this while I'm doing my effing taxes, and I'm like, God damn it, this is some bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Because they make a great point throughout this. It's like, I'm just some numbers on a W-4, and you feel like you're working, but what is the purpose of working? Yeah. And they really touched, like, again, it's just a quick song and a lot, but just like the jail, like just the hardships of working class people.
Yeah.
I think sometimes music is escapism.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is a way of escaping and alternate realities to, you know, things I want to be and want to get to. There's also a realness that we get from music, whether that is Tupac's Dear Mama or even something recent like Killer Mike's Motherless. Songs that are also rooted in some level of reality to connect to people. And this is a song that, regardless of what you feel about Dear Prez, as a working class person, you will listen to this. Somebody who had who grew up seeing their parents work and grandparents, whoever that caregiver was, you know, helping them make ends meet. You listen to this, you're like, oh wow, this is, I relate to this. And I think that's one of the things that Dear Prez was able to do.
Yeah.
Throughout their career, to make certain songs that people definitely connect to.
Working man rhymes. And there's nothing wrong with having, like, I feel like people think, you know, music's always got to be like flashy or like in your face or like take, you know, like you said, escapism. But I feel like reality songs like this is good because it makes you understand kind of the situation that we're all in and kind of brings you to peace about that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In some cases. Of course.
It's unifying.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Makes you feel like you're not the only person going through the shit. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's how music really connects with people outside of just what slaps in the club or in the cars. And you need more songs and projects like this. And I kind of fuck with this song because of that. While also still managing to be, you know, still a slapper.
Yeah, it was. Musically is really great. The layers of vocalists, like you said, in the background was great. The guitar, just the bass throughout the entire song, the entire length of the song in the background was tremendous. I think Dear Prez's production skills and stuff like that probably gets unnoticed because it sounds so well. It's just amazing to have a song about how crappy capitalism is, because we normally hear songs about how great capitalism is.
And
throughout this project and throughout their lives, things they dedicate, even one of these songs, he says, if you're really down, donate to my food drive. So it's pretty amazing that they were able to express this, something, a message like this that connects everybody with such a great music background. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's me, right?
It's still a mix. Well, I wanted to just say one more thing. It's still a mix of that southern, northern aspect that catches me off guard. Because at first, did you say like where they were from? Like you said, like one of them's from like the South, the other one's from Brooklyn.
They met at FAMU. One is from, that was pretty dope too. They met at FAMU. One is from Brooklyn. I can't remember which is which. I should, but I can remember. One's from Brooklyn and one's from Tallahassee. They met at FAMU. And in the late 90s, they moved to New York to get their to settle some bread, moved to New York because they wanted to rap full time. They was doing their own stuff in the Florida area. Then they went up top. That's what she was in Brooklyn. So, yeah, that's. For me, my next one is something that's really personal to me. It's fucked up,
son. Man, you gonna be all right, man? Yo, I ain't drinking no more, dog. I swear. Come on, man. I got you, dog. Come on. Oh, shit. How do it feel to be high without drugs? Some say it's the feeling of love for yourself. I can't call it. I just threw up in the toilet. And all my life I said I wasn't gonna be no alcoholic. I'm falling, son. Trying to stay sober, but the alcohol be calling, son, like a ghost. So let's make a toast to my liver and my kidneys. Pour out a little Henny, here's the gout in your 20s. Not many niggas make it to 30, we ride dirty. Breath stinking, already drinking. Bright and early, I done knurled off Smirnoff gin and 8-Ball. Passed out on the bathroom floor with my clothes off. Remember them Mickeys? Tall can't fit in your dickies. Before they put them cameras up in the corner store. It used to be so much fun when we was young. Trying to holler at something smelling like 151. Getting thrown out
the club on buzz. I'm about to go get the gun, dog, but I ain't even know where I was. My nigga M.A. had to carry me home on many days. It was Heineken, Bex, Andres, and E&J. They say alcoholism is in my DNA, cause my pops like to get fucked up the same way. They say alcoholism is in my DNA, cause my pops like to get fucked up the same way.
Don't pick it up.
Yeah, I think it's track 8. Yeah, I think also there's a theme throughout this album as well. I think when you get to like the remix, it kind of throws it off. But there's also like an element of storytelling and some visualizations, and there's some skits in between that really try to bring some of that stuff together, which I think is also really cool and I appreciate with albums like this, because sometimes you need like an extra skits. You need that speech from O'Malley. Yes, sorry, I think I'm saying his name right. No, that's a different album. But you need certain speeches in here. You need certain things in here to like bring it all together. So I just wanted to look at that tip. But Fucked Up was great because he even starts the thing with "Look at me." What do you say? He said, "I said all my life that I wasn't gonna be no alcoholic. I'm failing, son, trying to stay sober, but alcohol be calling me." It is so great, right? Because the album, it talks about different things and like uplifting of Black people, the third and the third, and like being physically fit. But I think also when you have these albums, there's like a lack of empathy towards the struggle people go through, and the things that the way that trauma shows up. So you listen to an album, it's like, look, we're spending too much money, we're giving to the white man, all that bullshit, right? Cool, but it's preachy. I think what I really like about this album was they were able to be vulnerable, which I always try to appreciate for everybody's music. So to hear him rap about, yo, I know I'm supposed to be doing better, but this poison has got me. And he says, I didn't want to be alcoholic. My pops was an alcoholic. I know that it's killing me, but the shit that I'm dealing with is making me have to use this crutch. And it was really impactful. You know, alcoholism is, it is awful. It is coursed in my bloodline, something that I have to always be mindful of. So to hear someone rap about this and go through this, because this is a really big issue. A lot of people either ignore it or run from it, but we've seen it throughout our community for forever. So it was really great. Because again, this is 2000 and something. This is the Armadale, Vocal, Scissor. This is the, to me, I think the biggest beginning of hip hop artists having their own alcohol products around this time, the early 2000s. So it's starting to pick up. So I know back in the day, some people had like, they was like advertisements and he was selling like a beer. But this is the first time where Jay-Z had his own liquor and Nelly had his own liquor. And then boom, and everyone started doing that. And then, you know, it comes off to FN and everybody got their own stuff now. But alcohol is tied so close to us. It was really impactful to hear someone else rap about like, yo, she's also gonna fuck you up. So
yeah,
that was dope. Great song.
This one stopped me in the tracks when I was at the gym, because you know, of course, like it was giving me all this hard shit. But like when he was actually talking about how it was affecting his body, that's when I was like, oh, this is real different. At first, I didn't really like the song because it didn't match for me the other vibes that it was supposed to provide. But it started to really grow on me when I was like gaming, and when I was actually listening to like a lot of like the lyrics that he was talking about. Of course, like that's something that I try to be mindful of. Hell, I don't even do that as much. And if I do, I have to do it with water. And I also seen so many people go through alcoholism, you know what I'm saying? Like in my bloodline as well, and friends that I may have, and it's a rough hill to go down, you know what I'm saying? So to actually have a song like this, it caught me off guard specifically, through both its sound, the way that the song is kind of created, and the way that the chorus is kind of built. You know what I'm saying? Because it's more of like vocals being used. Whoa, 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 whoa. But also that bass line was dope too. You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that it has still that musical aspect, but done in a different way. It was something that was very intriguing for me. And it kind of grew on to be a song that I appreciated, you know what I'm saying? And respected, because we don't really have a lot of songs like this about alcoholism, you know what I'm saying? Most of the time, it might be like a B-side type of song, like, oh shit, like, it's dark and it's deep, but it might not be what they play on the radio, of course, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
shit, like, I feel like outside of them actually approaching what's going on the radios in this album, this just felt like a song that needed to be heard from somebody that is going through this situation and could be that reminder for them to just keep it pushing and find a way for them to find other aspects to use as a heal instead of making you numb.
It's so relevant. It's so relevant in our community. It's the few times people do talk about it is very rarely given the full breath that it needs, I guess. And
yeah,
it was just refreshing to hear people talk about that. Hey, I know we have a great time, but you know, it also has other stuff. So how can you be mindful of it? I don't know if they were saying don't do it, but I think he was just talking about the negative attachment he had to it. So
yeah,
fucked up. That was
you have so many different like alcohol songs like in promotion for it. If I get one more drink, like buy you a drink, all these other songs. Mm-hmm. But this is like one of the very few that actually shows the other side of that. And that's why I kind of dig it. Go ahead, though.
It's all about balance, brother. It's all about balance. That's what I take from it. That was my second. I think you gave your second. Is this your last one?
Yes, it is.
What you got?
Oh, come on, man. You know what I'm going to say. Come on.
I think I do. I'm hoping you picked the one so I can pick a different one.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
We together on the same track now, baby. What you going to call us now?
Houghton Street. Dean Street. Click, clack. President. Uh-huh. Nostra LP,
Mossy,
Orange, RPGs, T-Tang,
right.
We wanna ride,
Brooklyn,
come on,
let's do it.
Sitting in the living room on the floor, hunger pain got me on some migraine shit, but I'ma maintain, nigga got $2 or $3 to my name, and my homies in the same boat, going through the same thing, ready for a cake, ready plotting for the paper, we've been living in the dark since April, on the candle, gotta get a handle, my homie got a 25 automatic added to the gamble, nigga get the phone book, look up in the yellow page, let me tell you how we finna get paid, we gon' order pizza, when they send the driver, we gon' stick the 25 up in the face, let's ride, stepping outside like warriors, into the notorious south side, one weapon to the four of us, hiding in the corridor, till we see the car headlights, white boy in the wrong place at the right time. Soon as the car door open up, he mine. We roll up quick and put the pistol to his nose. By the look on his face, he probably shitted in his clothes. You know what this is, it's a stick up. Give me the double from your pickups. You ran into the wrong nigga. We running down the block hot with these pizza boxes. So we split up and met back at the park.
Hell yeah.
Yo, ain't you hungry, my nigga?
Hell yeah.
You wanna get paid, my nigga?
Hell yeah.
Ain't you tired of starving, my nigga?
This was the first song that I heard when I listened to this album. I just threw it on random because this is one of the albums I didn't really know what to expect. So I was like, fuck it, let me just throw it out there.
Just throw it out there.
Yeah. And this was the first song that came on and I was fucking with it. The drums are from Set It Off, one of my favorite songs, like one of my favorite old school songs. Set it off to the left, to the right. Yes. Because and I know
from Florida.
Yeah. And I know this because hold on, I'm looking for the original 80s song. To the left, to the right. And I know this because the drums, like it has like this kind of like a beat flip. And you can hear that shit when the chorus gets, you know, when they get ready to get into the chorus.
Set it off, I suggest don't set it off. I suggest don't set it off.
Set it off,
set it off.
Set it off
on the left, y'all. Set it off on the right, y'all.
Set it off.
Come on, let's set it off.
Set it off.
set it off. I suggest don't set it off. I suggest don't set it off.
So I picked that shit up. I was like, something feels familiar about this beat. And of course, Jay-Z is rapping over it. So I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they did something with Jay-Z? Like, so much shit is happening when I first listened into the song. But then, once again, I thought that they were going to have, like first coming into Dead Presidents and listening to their songs, I thought they were going to have, like, some northern shit. No, this was not that. And the song was just so catchy and it was dope. And then it had, once again, Jay-Z on there. So there was so many elements that caught me off guard when I first heard this song. And I feel like because it's one of the songs that I remember from this album, this one is one, an achievement for them because they were able to get the Jay-Z nod, you know what I'm saying? And be able to be recognized by somebody that the mainstream considers like an icon, you know what I'm saying? It feels like they found their niche, but then still gets the mainstream love that they deserve for how they've been able to produce music. And like you said, the fact that they're still touring and still making moves to this day, it just shows you how consistent you could be and how you could make timeless music, but still do it your own way and not stick to what a lot of people in the industry would say that you have to do. But I digress. Yeah, this one caught me off guard entirely because it was the first song. I thought it was Dead Press was going to be one thing, and it turned out to be some whole different shit that I actually like. So, yeah.
I'm going to say I'm happy to hear that. Absolutely 100% happy to hear that. I did not know about that sample. That sample really messed me up. I didn't look it up, but if you said it, I believe you. That is insanely impressive if they flip that. I thoroughly enjoyed that their single for their album, which is really so fucking amazing, is an entire song rapping about how to scam and how to get money from the government and scam people. And that's essentially the entire song was like, this is how to, like, 50 Cent did How to Rob. They did essentially How to Pimp the System and Scam. So you're talking about credit card fraud. Fraud and sometimes robbing and delivery, man. But again, their entire album is an album for people who are going through some level of, I mean, systemic racism is too easy, but it's the effects of living in a racist capitalist society.
Yeah.
And you gotta survive, dog. Like, people, I hate to use this as an example, but the shit is going on in DC, for example, right?
Yeah.
The crime is at an all-time high in DC, but a lot of young guys, and it's so sorry, and it's so sucked to hear, and I know
teenagers.
It's teenagers, and we know that the impact is going to be lock all these boys up, you know? And it sucks, right? And now they're going to be stuck into a system that is not going to help them. It's going to keep them down and just essentially continue to fuck them over for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So when you hear music, people to be like, this shit is fucked up and we need to find a level of accountability to yourself. So deal with your alcoholism and deal with this. And you might got to also do some scamming to get out the hole and get out the way and, you know, figure it out. And it's real. Like, it's very real. And a lot of these things are still happening to this day. There are rappers now who make these same songs. No one would associate that with, like, being conscious, but it's really cool how they did it. Like, fuck the system. And Jay-Z did his Jay-Z version. It's like How to Get Over on a record label. And how I think that was really clever how he flipped it, how to pimp the system.
Yeah. As long as there's drugs in the
plugs to me, so I ain't waiting for the system to plug up these holes. I ain't slipping through the cracks, so I'm in Portland, Oregon, trying to slip you these raps. The first black in the suburbs, you think I had ecstasy, Percocet, and plus serve. The way the cops converge, they fucked up my swerve. The first young buck that I serve, I throw it back to the block. I never seen a cop when I was out there, they never came out there. And out there, I was slinging crack to live. I'm only slinging rap to your kids, I'm only trying to show you how black niggas live. But you don't want your little ones acting like this. Lil Amy told Becky, Becky told Jenny, and now they all know the skinny. Lil Joey got his do-rag on, driving down the street blasting two blocks on. But Billy like Snoop got his blue rag on. Now before you know it, you back in on. Now the police got me in the middle of the street, trying to beat me blue, black, and orange. I'm like, hold up, who you smacking on? I'm only trying to eat what you snacking on.
Hell yeah.
Y'all like that, do you?
Hell yeah.
You fucked up the hood, nigga, right back to you.
Everyone flipped the system. Everyone tries to find a shortcut because poor people don't have a lot of access to money. So poor people are some of the most initiative-taking people you ever gonna meet because they got to survive. I think this album is a survivalist album. They should have called it that too. It's how to survive or something like that. All right.
Real shit.
I was talking to Ryan, and Ryan was like, they're like the next generation of the outcast, the Ice Cubes, and and the Public Enemies, and that's a vacuum that doesn't exist. Social commentary rap that's not cheesy. It was really great to talk to him about it because it is. I was trying to find a way to describe him and what was missing from it. I think that was the thing, like that pocket is what's missing.
I agree. I completely agree. And despite the fact of what, like, you know, Killer Mike has done outside of like rapping, I feel like he was that our generation of that. But I do feel like when it comes to like this next generation, you don't really have that shit. You know what I'm saying? If you do have a conscious rapper, you can see that they're taking a different route that doesn't have that gangster aspect to it, just mainly the conscious side to it. Yeah, and that's understandable. True. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to really add that violent aspect to it because you don't want that to be a part of like your crowd. But when it comes to like, you know, rappers with that aspect being conscious, like you look to artists like G Herbo, you know what I'm saying? That's still
talking
about
a good point.
That real shit, but it's still not as revolutionary as like something like this. So I do agree, like it would be cool to see like an Ice Cube or Dead Prez kind of vibe come back. Especially since we can see how it has been able to influence the next generations of rap. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like this song was just really dope because once again, it has that musical aspect that sometimes a lot of artists that want to have that super conscious kind of vibe kind of misses out on. You know what I'm saying? They want the message to be clear, but in some ways kind of put the music on the back end and kind of shows. They were able to do the opposite. And the fact that like somebody who is new to Dead Prez, like myself, has been able to just, oh shit, okay, I like what they got. Let's keep going. That's what makes music beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now I fuck with it. And if I fuck around and catch a Dead Prez t-shirt at their store, I'm buying that shit. So I digress.
That's a good point. That's a great point. As someone who was new to Dead Prez, that is their takeaway. I agree. When you mentioned Killer Mike, I think I'm so happy that he won the Grammy. I think.
Yes. Three.
He did fill in the void. And he is like a last, he's not from a generation, and he was on Stank On You, so he's not new to this. So it is dope to see someone who can show that you might not get it when you first come out in 2021, but you might get it this way. And I feel like he tried to do the sellout thing and change his name and stuff like that, but he felt like it wasn't work, so he just did the reverse and like dug in deeper to who he is and went super hardcore at it. And then over time, he was able to do it the way that he felt like he should have done it, and it was amazing. And I think it's also pretty cool that Fabo, Jagged Edge, and Currency gonna get a Grammy because they were on that album.
Yeah, real talk. That's beautiful, man.
It really is.
the fact that he had artists from like our generation actually get the respect that they deserve through his project, just oh my gosh, man. It feels like a win forever for music lovers, you know what I'm saying? Especially music lovers of the 2010s.
Yeah, for sure. I agree 100%. Yeah. I didn't expect that when he first put it out, but it was dope to see that in the long run.
Yeah. That's it. That's one of the albums that grew on to me, like, especially in like the later half of the year. Like, I was like, oh, this is better than I expected.
Great album. I really enjoyed that album. I love the opening cover when it gets to that time frame, what you said, it got to be, what, 2 years removed. Anyway, my last one, I was in between two. I was hoping you'd pick one, but you didn't. So now I got to pick between one. God damn
it. My fault. We got to do five again, man. We got to get back to doing
it. You know, three got to make us be more precise. I'm going to do this one. That's true. This might be the most controversial one. I'm going to say this. I really like Down.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to pick Down. Or tell me, are you down? Like, how are you showing you down? Yeah. That's the song I said he's talking about, where he was like, if you're really down, put your money up and help people in the community.
Yeah.
But I got to pick I Have a Dream too.
There was an incident where a police had shot a black man in the back and then went and planted a gun next to him and said that the guy had drawn a gun on him, which we found out after investigation, the guy didn't have no gun. Police had shot him in cold blood. Cold blood.
Remember the news. Wake up, nigga. The police shot another nigga today in the South Bronx.
Wake up, nigga.
And his only weapon was his wallet. Who gonna be next?
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake
Stay
up.
Stay tuned.
Backseat of the lap, big gat in my lap, ready for combat. Feeling like Geronimo Pratt, we had the windows cracked. Headed up to the strip, black rag in my hand, don't want no prints on the clip. Hollow tips, cause we thorough with this shit, my nigga. This ain't no game, we bang for you, who, my nigga? Now take a left with the light, turn off the headlights and ride real slow. Now holla at me when you see the 5-0. Alright, dirty, y'all boys ready? We bout to turn drive-bys revolutionary. Yeah, motherfucker, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They open it up with an actual account of someone talking about the time that a black man was killed by police. It was actually from it was a speech. Someone was talking about like, there was an accusation that this person had shot someone. And then come to find out, the police had shot him because he had a gun. Come to find out, he did not have a gun, which is all too common. It's about as common as anything in America.
Yeah.
And even right after this, says, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And then this is storytelling, completely fictional. They plan to get enact some level of revenge on the state as the state continues to kill black men. So it was very interesting to hear from one, this is way before BLM.
Yeah.
So it isn't like BLM is a product of a new thing. This is 20 years before.
Yeah.
30, almost 20 some years before, like almost 20 years before Freddie Gray and stuff like that. So it was amazing that that has not changed, still has not changed. It's been going on since forever.
Yeah.
But the, in a song, I love that he won. People who don't know, is highlighting a lot of black revolutionaries who were a victim of the state. So he talks about, you know, trying to feel like I'm Geronimo Pratt, or he mentions Fred Hampton and Uhuru. Uhuru was a big movement based out of Chicago, I believe.
Some
revolutionary things that they did.
They got one out in St. Louis.
Even this, and then he has a whole verse where he talks about the people, like Twan McMyer. He names all of these people who are victims of the state in some capacity. And it's a long list of people who were falsely accused. Or he even mentions people who are outside of America, like the Mau Mau, who were based in Kenya, who fought off colonialism in Kenya and was one of some of the biggest casualties of the colonialism was like that Winston Churchill and his time frame running Europe suffered was through Mau Mau, which is a group based in Kenya who fought for the Kenyan freedom, which they are free now, stuff like that. So it was dope to see them tie. Even the Zapatistas that they mentioned towards the end, they are based out of Mexico. They're a Mexican freedom fighter organization, and they advocate for themselves in the 70s. I know that because I looked up How Small World. I kept telling you about Rage Against the Machine, which would be very similar to Dead Prez. Rage Against the Machine's the singer, the band leader, I can't think of his name. His father is Zapatista. So I looked up him, I heard about that, and went to a whole deep dive and learned about all of this wonderful Mexican culture. So it was really great for them to use that song as to say, like, Black revolutionaries also have a drink too. And he painted in a very violent way. And he not just right, violent, he did. But it was a sense of, like, these people were consistently attacked by state apparatuses to hinder revolution for the people that they're advocating for by the state. So what would it be like if one day someone in this, people who have suffered and at the level of revenge. I am surprised it was able to get released. I think it's dope that she put it out. If this was today, it will be ran so much and it will do so much bullshit around it and it will actually miss what they're trying to tell people about. Like, people who are right now in the world, there's an amazing number of, it's a numerous number of people fighting for some level of dignity and revolutionary in this band. They can use songs like this. And it sucks that we live in a space where people aren't talking about stuff like that because they were trying to. So this song is amazing. It is gut-wrenching. It's hard to listen to, and it sucks. But it's a daily reality for people like us. I think about shit like this every day.
Yeah.
I think about getting pulled over every fucking day.
Yeah. Real shit. Real shit. It's a scary thing, you know what I'm saying? Man, especially when the red lights pop up on you, you feel me? Because anything can happen.
It is something that I think about every fucking day. So listening to the song, it was like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Fuck.
This was one of the hard ones to get through. I ain't gonna hold you. Like, sonically, it kind of caught me off guard, but the beginning of the track, like the story that they told, was also it was scary because this shit still happens to this day, and we don't know how to actually stop it. So many people, you know, think that they have a solution, but we still have not been able to stop it. This shit still happens to this day.
Still happens to this day.
And this song just, honestly, this was kind of like that rage that a lot of us have internally, but we couldn't really show it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of songs like Violence by Tupac, like one of my favorite songs,
because
it does show that revolutionary aspect. And like, it also shows that we don't fucking, we just don't want to take this shit anymore. Like, we want more than what the fuck you're giving us. What you're giving us is not enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm. What you're doing to us is far worse than what the fuck we could do to you. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that there are songs like this that shows our rage is a great way for us to push it into this song, a way that we remember this song, instead of actually using that violence either on each other or the establishment. You know what I'm saying? But like, I like this song because it was a hard listen in some cases, because sometimes you need that shit. Sometimes your medicine is harder than what you may like. And sometimes you need that reality in some cases. So the fact that you did have an album that had slappers on here and shit that you could play, but then one that like stopped you dead in your tracks with something that is important and still continues to be an important topic in our society. And it just shows how timeless that they truly are and how this song should be taken far more seriously even to this day, but it won't because it's still polarizing in some cases.
Sometimes you need art to start a conversation.
Real shit.
You know what I'm saying? Real sometimes shit. You need someone to get riled up. Sometimes we need two people to get riled up in different perspectives to have a conversation. And I think that's one thing I keep talking about this. I can't figure out but I think that's how I want to word it. It's like, these people are supposed to make art that influences people to think about stuff. And that's the expectation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cheesy, but with power comes responsibility. I was watching a 1970s one documentary on Apple. Hope everyone can get a chance to listen to. It is so good. And it talks about, it's called 1971, The Year Music Changed the World. And they talk about so many different things that was happening in the world that music was in some way or how it might have influenced or just, again, forced a conversation. So I think it opens with talking about Marvin Gaye with what's going on in that his brother was in the Vietnam War, and through his brother, he was understanding this is some bullshit. And he, that started to awaken his conscious mind. So some other songs he started to make, like what's going on and things of that nature, and how it kind of changed his trajectory to a different kind of artist. Then you also really talk about John Lennon, how he just left the Beatles in this transition, and he became very much anti-war. He made the song Imagine, which is one of the biggest songs ever. But that was rooted in this bullshit war that was going on, and he was taking off. And it was just amazing to see in each episode Rolling Stones and things that they had going on, and they were getting shut out and getting sued, and they was, you know, people was telling them they can't perform because that type of music is too rowdy. A lot of just rebels of stuff that was going on, and he was able to use music as a way to garner a conversation that ultimately changed the world. I'm not expecting none of these idiots to do it today. I just kind of wish somebody had the guts to do something. Because you listen to Dear Prayers, and it's like, man, they really threw themselves out there. They really poured themselves. They really tried to push themselves in a way to create something that can help move and awaken people. And that's what art is supposed to do. Even if it's like an emotional thing where I love this album because it emotionally connected to me. So whether it's like, okay, now I want to be revolutionary, or now I want to be in love, or now I want to do blah, 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 blah. I think this level of emotion that's missing that I really got from this. It was a different kind of emotion, but it was great to have emotion from music again. Yeah. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. This was a good journey to go through. It wasn't really like, it was, as I said before, like that, you know, it came out at a certain time. So it does take a slice of what was the best at its time. But the message still resonates today. And I feel like sometimes you need to listen to albums like that. That's the best medicine in some cases, especially as Black men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel this fucking way. Sometimes we feel like we gotta play some soft shit, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes we feel like this, and we can't really say it. And this, we can use this as our, this is one of the albums we can use this as our platform to get those feelings out. So I do feel like Dead Prez in general is like that medicine that a lot of us don't really like taking, but we do need to actually take. Not only just through their message and their lyrics, but then also musically.
I agree 100%. Yeah. I do. It was a great album, and I'm looking for something lighter next time, but this was a great one.
So
it's been a minute to be caught up. What was your thoughts about the Grammys?
Oh shit. Oh man. I know Jay-Z had a very controversial speech. But I like the fact that he said,
what did he say that was controversial? I really didn't know what he said was controversial.
So mainly
I listened to it, but I didn't hear the controversial piece.
So mainly he mentioned the boycotts that Will Smith took and that he took, and the fact that even though they took these boycotts and they didn't show up for the Grammys, they still watch the Grammys. And he kind of made a joke of that. But he talked about, he pretty much kind of caped for Beyonce, and he didn't really say her name, but he mentioned her and say like, oh, this person gets a lot of Grammys and other stuff, but she never got an album of the year. Just get it right. You know what I'm saying? Just get it right. You know what I'm saying? And then he also said some people don't even deserve to be in the cat in the on the list. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of caught a lot of people off guard. But what he said, you could see the impact of what he said was important, because Kelly Rowland came out and said that in some ways she feels like she's an artist that don't feel seen like in that way by the Record Recording Academy, and that what Jay-Z said made artists like her feel seen, you know what I'm saying? Or artists who might not get that Grammy love because they might not have that sound, but they're still talented. They're still making an impact, you know, on society as a whole. His speech made them feel like, you know, they have been seen because they are the artists that are going through that. Especially artists like Travis Scott. Like, bro, like this man, despite what happened in Texas, he's been able to be consistent musically and just in the industry and society in general. You know what I'm saying? And he still cannot win a Grammy. And it's like, yo, like, there's artists that feel that way. You know what I'm saying? There's artists that might have not even been nominated who feel like they should get it.
You think he should have won for Utopia?
Like, album of the year?
Because if he win, Mike, if he win, Killer Mike don't win. And I don't think he should win over Killer.
That's tough. Because I'll say this. I don't think Utopia had the same... I don't think it had the same effect that Astroworld did, but I think it's because Astroworld was performed twice. Like, he toured twice for Astroworld, and then he had the whole Astroworld festival. So I think if it was any album that he would get a Grammy for, it should have been Astroworld. But I think Utopia was a really good follow-up, despite the fact that, you know, it came out last year, and it was a little bit more recent. I feel like if it had a little bit more time to sink in, I feel like it should have won a Grammy. You know what I'm saying? Because it would have had a bigger effect. I do know that Fiend is like a club banger. And I also know that I Know is like a song that is going viral in some cases.
Yeah, I Know it's dope.
Yeah, it's a dope ass song. Yeah. But that's a tough one, man. I feel like if they gave him the album, the rap album of the year for Utopia, it would be kind of like a celebration of Astroworld. And even though that's good because he got a Grammy for Utopia, I feel like they kind of missed their mark like way before this Utopia snub, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like he should have got something at least, you know what I'm saying? Rap song, you know what I'm saying? Like, Fame was a banger.
Yeah, my only thing about Travis is Travis doesn't make music for awards. He's making music to perform.
Yeah.
He's not making music for somebody who, he even said it. He told somebody said it's like he makes music just for the listener who's going to be his performance. I think if he wants to win an award, I know, that being said, he should have won for Astroworld.
Yeah.
Easily.
I think that was his magnum opus for sure. But I do like the fact that he's still putting out stuff, you know, after Astroworld, and not chasing necessarily that same sound. Like, he tried different stuff with Utopia, and I like that. So. But yeah, nah, I like the fact that Killer Mike got his respect, because I feel like when Killer Mike won those three Grammys, a lot of people are like, Killer Mike? All right, well, let me listen to it. And now they're fucking around and finding out. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that would be the way that people will listen to Killer Mike. You know what I'm saying? I like that.
Yeah. I think Mike got it. I was happy to see SZA win her once. I was happy for Coco Jones to win. I was happy to see Victoria Monet win. Those were just really good R&B. R&B was really good last year. Women in R&B. Men in R&B is trash right now, if you ask me. There's missing. There's a lot missing. But right now, women in R&B is killing it. And I'm so happy they all got to win something. My biggest gripe with the Grammys, and I'm happy whatchamacallit said those things that he said, One of my biggest gripes is just the fact that I think Tyler said this a few years ago. He said they really, when he made Igor, he was like, they put some of my songs into categories where it's simply not that. And I think there's a creative capacity they put on Black women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you do R&B, you're going to be good, you're going to win. But compared to everybody else, you're not as good. And that really sucks.
Yeah.
Because I really think that the fact that no Black woman has won Album of the Year since Lauryn Hill is a disservice. It's a disgrace.
It is.
And there's no logical explanation for me to look in my face and say, hey, yeah, no. And it's like I was in a barbershop and dude was like, and there's some truth to this. Most of the people who win Album of the Year, they don't have as many co-writers. If you go back and check, it's true. Most of them are, there's not a big written thing. And that was his theory as to why Beyonce has never won, and theory as to where Kanye has not won. It doesn't match up because Kendrick would have won, because Kendrick does not use writers. His album won a Pulitzer Prize, and he won everything else. So if that was what they were banking on, you can't tell me Pimp a Butterfly should not win a Grammy for Album of the Year. That's the logic, right?
Yeah.
But all that being said is true. Alicia Keys, Beyonce has written a lot of her songs, so even his theory is not 100% true. SZA and everyone in between. That's a couple decades of music. You're gonna tell me them and no one other than them has made an album worth Album of the Year?
Yeah.
No, I think there's a creative cap that is put on Black women, and they aren't perceived as music that is not just for them, for the masses.
I don't feel like they respect it because they don't feel like the national crowd or middle America will vibe about the SZA. But it's been shown in so many ways that like her music is not just, it's genreless. Like it, so many people can vibe out to SZA the way that they can vibe out to a Taylor Swift in so many ways. You know what I'm saying? That's why you have so many artists. I'm not gonna say like Taylor. Well, shit, in some cases like Taylor Swift, because she worked on Ice Spice from what I heard. But you got so many other artists like pulling in the hip hop or pulling in the Black music in general, especially from Black women now. And it doesn't seem fair that they don't really get the actual accolades that matter. Because I know a lot of people say that the Grammys don't really matter. And I get it, you know, it sometimes it seems like it's just a award show just to make people feel good. But the industry side of it is important because that Grammy boost is real. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's real. Even with the Super Bowl halftime performance, that shit is real too, because like Usher made only 600. Well, reports are coming out that he only made about 700 off of the performance itself, but the boost that it supplied was over 100 million. So it's like, now granted, don't quote me on these numbers. Like it could just, these are just early reports, but at the same time, like that boost that comes after a major element or event that an artist is a part of, that shit is important. And I feel like the fact that they are getting that boost can help them out, but I do feel like it is important to have that Album of the Year. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's what's really going to make people go back to your music and say, okay, what did I really miss out? And of so many different race, creeds, different things like that, it's universal. You know what I'm saying? And I do feel like Black women don't really get that respect, because Beyonce should have won it multiple times over if we want to keep it a buck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
was that Renaissance? That was like a shine, like that was a way to shine not only dance music, but then the whole SoundCloud era of sounds. And then you had Lemonade, which was one of her most personal projects. Like, she should have won a while ago, you know what I'm saying? SZA was on this way, like, she should have won, like, she should have won more, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just, I forgot the Grammy that she did win, but I feel like she should have got something a little bit more impactful, because her album was played a lot, like not only on the radio, but just it was impactful, you know what I'm saying? And Kill Bill is a fire ass video. So
the thing is, they don't even consider SZA a pop. SZA is a pop artist. She does pop numbers. She does pop artist radio stations. Yes. But they always say she's R&B. SZA is a pop artist.
The pop artist crowds too. Like, let's be real, she'd be packing out stadiums now.
Crowds, absolutely. Pop artist crowds. The only woman singer probably bigger than her is Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's a whole especially other conversation. Especially of this era. Yeah, of this era right now, you can say, you can throw Doja Cat in there.
Yeah.
A lot of the other people, like Ariana Grande is a superstar, but she's not, she isn't putting nothing out recently. I'm sure once she go up, she'll be just as big and stuff like that. But SZA album was did numbers. It sold. It was okay, accolades, and she sold out. And that's amazing. This is only her second, third album. It's not like she's putting out an album. She's in year 10. She's only on her second real studio album, right?
Yeah, I think that was her second album.
That's amazing, right? Like, the rest of the mixtape. So that's pretty impressive. But she's capped. She's R&B. SZA's a pop artist, one of the biggest pop artists in the world. But she's capped. And that's really unfortunate. And I feel like that same thing goes into the jury, the Grammy selection. And that's what evidence have shown. Because you can't tell me in 25 years, no black woman has put out album of the year.
Yeah.
And only three black men have. Three?
Three.
Outkast, John Baptiste. That's it. Kendrick ain't winning. Kanye ain't winning.
Yeah, that kind of irks me. Yeah, that definitely kind of irks me.
Yeah.
Like, especially some of those albums actually became a part of like Chance and shit like that. Like, the impact that they made to our society is way bigger than what the fuck ever makes album of the year. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, all right, I guess like people do listen to this certain artist, but it just doesn't make sense why the very obvious winner of this category seems to go to the little shit on the side instead of the big obvious one that everybody knows made such an impact for that entire year. Instead, you just choose the little thing on the side. You just want to give us the nomination for us to feel like we're doing some shit, but don't really want to give us the reward. I find that it's stupid. If you don't keep it a buck, but I digress.
I mean, it's fine. I do think what you just said about it, so the biggest thing you said is the money aspect. That bump actually means something.
It means something.
You know, it gives more leverage. You can ask for more money. You can get more stuff. You can milk things a little bit more. And it sucks because just goes to another example how people are underpaid, even though they do just as work and just as good, and they still don't get the same money as everybody else. So that was my biggest thing about the Grammys. Taylor Swift kept being short early.
I will say this, though. Black women have definitely been shining in the last couple of years in the Grammys. So I will say that, you know what I'm saying? Even with the awards that have been given out, especially the televised awards, Black women has definitely been able to like shine the last couple of years. Even with Megan Thee Stallion winning awards in the past. Like, I like this era. Like, I said this shit before. I was like, keep that same energy. And it seems like people are keeping the same energy about black women in music, but they need to get that fucking top reward. They got to get that top spot.
I agree with everything you're saying. My thing is, they don't need just to get the black awards.
Yeah. Real shit.
That's it. They can compete in the Everybody Awards, and they can get the same recognition.
Yep. They need to get the top spot. Yep.
Yeah. That's it.
That's going to solidify it.
Yeah. Because that shit is just as good, if you ask me. So, what you been listening to, man?
Man, shit, I ain't gonna hold you. I've been listening to a lot of the next artist that we're gonna listen to, or a group.
Okay.
Slow hand. You know what I'm saying?
I'm looking forward to that.
However, I've also been taking a trip in the some Slim Gorilla. He got this project that came out last year called RNG. And he samples R&B music and raps over them. Now, Gorilla Slim is, of course, he's a very Southern rapper. So if some people are looking for lyrics, don't come on now. You know what you're here for. But the beats are fire in the way that the samples are being bended art is very fucking dope. So I've been listening to him. I've been listening to some Tommy McGee. You know what I'm saying? Now that I have you, shit, I've been listening to, once again, we went back into some we, listening to some Lion Babe. You know what I'm saying? Sade. Jordan Ward. Did I say his name right?
Jordan Ward is amazing.
This album forward, bro. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's really
fire.
Good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I like his voice. His voice is fire.
And like, he seems to be kind of like I wouldn't say R&B because his music don't really sound R&B, but I feel like the way that he sings and what he sings about, it's not necessarily about just girls. And I like the fact that he can talk about so many different things, but then still use his voice to kind of tell those stories. I like that. So I've been fucking with Fam Jam off of his project.
You watched me grow up from a boy. I watched you build from what's destroyed. Rehabbing houses but held grudges when my mom's house wasn't yours. She had to build some of her own. We disagree on right and wrong. Been on and off communicating since the day I left from home. And as we get older, it's hard to reach understanding. I left for no plan B. Yeah, I could be all around the world with our family. It don't mean anything. Can we bring the love back? I know that you've been waiting so long for it to come home again. Can we bring the love back? I know that it's been way too long. You've always been on me. All is wrong. I met you dancing with a drink in your hand.
I met Skyzoo too. Shout out to him. I know there's this one song that I'm trying to include into this mix, and I went to the song that Skyzoo or the producer for this song sampled to make Designer Drugs. So I was listening to a little bit of Skyzoo back then. Orion Sun. Let's see. Been also digging into some playlists and shit like that. So definitely a lot of R&B lately. Most Necessary. Let me see. I think that might be it. Hold on.
That was a good list.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Wow. I've been listening to, I've been all over the place since the last time we met. Me watching the Apple documentary made me go into a whole 70s thing. It was great, man. I was listening to soft rock. I was listening to just so much great stuff that came out. So I have a whole 70s playlist. So like, I just been in the 70s because that was just an amazing time span of how they was doing, what they was doing with music. Specifically like Curtis Mayfield, early David Bowie, Marvin Gaye, Miles Davis, George Harrison, Donald Byrne. It was a really great, the 70s was really fire. Then I went through Don Toliver, new song. Don Toliver has grown on me the past few years. His voice is so unique, and he's having fun and he's making fun music. Yeah. So Don Toliver for sure. Bodie James, him and Nicholas Craven put out an album late December, early January. Really good, really, really, really good. Recommend it if you like really visceral raps, street raps.
That's a good way of saying it.
Yeah, there you go. Skepta put out a song to him, and he's been leaking and teasing for a while. He finally put it out, produced by Cardo. It's called Gas Me Up with Skepta. It is a banger. It is crazy. It was fire record.
Yeah. Speaking of Cardo.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. There's an artist that Cardo's been working with that I've been fucking with a lot. I think his name is Yo Dawg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
Bro. He got some bangers, but I digress. Continue.
Big X the plug. You put me on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go.
Big X the plug. Key Glock got a new single out that's pretty fire. Let's go. Great energy, high energy song.
He's been consistent, bro. Like,
yeah,
so
he's really consistent. Yeah. He's really, yeah. Ooh, Bumpus and Donnie Hathaway the other day. Recommended to everybody. I'm happy Beyonce has taken everybody to country. I just want to say I've been talking about country on this podcast for a while now. If you are now here because of Beyonce, welcome to the black people who likes country music side of things. While you're here, I recommend check out Warren Treaty. I check out some Tyler Childers. Check out Zach Bryan. Zach Bryan is the fucking man. His past two tapes have been really good. But I'm really, really, really enjoying it. Chris Stapleton put out an album late November, mid-November. He got some bangers on that, man. It felt like our old R&B songs, man. Some joints, like love songs. I recommend it. Took a little swing down south preparing for this Bob Marley movie. Playing some Dennis Brown. Ooh. Big money in the pocket. Big money. Big money things.
Big money things.
I'm going to just wrap this up with a few joints. Bad, Bad, Not Good. I have a new single recently. Really enjoyed it.
What?
Yeah. It's called Take What's Given. And once they put it out like a week or two ago. It's fire.
Okay.
Recommend it. 21 Lil Herald. 21. Part of the 21 Savage crew. Has a song called Sundown with J.I.D. That's fire.
Okay.
Rob 4-9. New Orleans own. Got a verse from New Orleans legend Lil Wayne. Song is called West Satin Baby, and it sounds like a New Orleans song, and it is, and it is wonderful. Little Wayne versus, so just a bunch of random songs. I've still got my favorites in there in between, so I'm always playing some of the usual suspects of who knows what, but those are some ones that I wanted to stick out and share with. Before we wrap this up, Vance, do you got any plugs? I'm gonna be dropping a mix soon.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, I think the Valentine's Day mix would already drop. So yeah, check your Mixcloud, check your SoundCloud. This might be the first Valentine's Day mix that I drop on SoundCloud too. So keep on the lookout for that. You know what I'm saying? It's the V-Day Tape 5. You know what I'm saying? Fifth one, Bedroom Makers. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna give you a little bump, but we're gonna give you a little bump in the bedroom for you. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely coming out very, very soon, if it's not already out right now. But yeah, like, other than that, like, just follow your boy Vance B underscore everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here gaming. You know what I'm saying? I finally got a new fucking console that can actually take the Mega Pig. So I might be back on Twitch and shit soon. So follow me at twitch.tv/VanceB_. And that's it.
Wow. Shout out to Vance for having real stuff to share. Yeah. I have nothing to share. I just want to say thank you to everybody who has followed, who shared, who's listened to this podcast. it's so much fun that we built this small little community of people who have checked us out. If you have any suggestions, any ideas, any albums for us to check out, please, please, please either leave us a review. And in a review, say, hey, can you recover these things? Could you all either send us an email at recordreportpodcast@gmail.com. We'll check it eventually. And maybe we'll ask you to be... Maybe we'll ask you to jump on and talk about the album yourself. You never know.
Yes.
But this
yes.
is a community. This is fun. We want to have fun with y'all. Thanks for locking in. Thanks for listening to any of these episodes. This yes. is so much fun. And I'm happy we get to do it whenever the fuck we can find time to do it. Shout out to you, yes. man.
Hey, gang, gang. You feel me?
Appreciate All right, good it, people. Man. Peace.
Peace.
Until next time.
To get our free on, that's FREE on, in case you didn't